This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by AppPro International Incorporated, a leading developer of innovative supercomputing solutions uniquely positioned to support high-performance computing markets. www.appro.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
ISC 2011 Wrap.
Trends, winners, and losers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our special ISC edition of HPC Wire Soundbite. And I have across the table from me, literally across the table, I have Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good afternoon, Addison.
Good afternoon, Michael. Did you have a good show?
Great show. We just wrapped it up. It's Thursday afternoon here. We just let out, and we're going to see what's up, what the big trends are. We're going to go over some of the big winners and big losers. So
yeah, I always like doing this with you. I mean, there's so much that happens during the show, but we run nonstop for, you know, 4 or 5 days in a row. And to sit down and reflect at the end of it and say, you know, what were some of the big trends that were going on? So, you know, what were you seeing if you reflect back on it and say that was kind of a big deal?
Yeah, you know, in a sense, I don't get a real strong sense of trends. I think there were a lot of little things, but there were a couple things that stood out. And you know, I think we talked about one of these on our first show. We talked about Intel, Mike. Intel was talking about their Knights Ferry and their follow-on product, Knights Corner, when they commercialized it. But there was a lot of talk at the show about that. It seemed like everybody had some opinion about it. I talked to different vendors and different users about it, and I got a lot of feedback. And Intel definitely made an impression. You could tell they took some mind share away from NVIDIA and AMD with their GPU solutions, and people were talking about it. SGI, they're on board with it. I think they're getting some vendor enthusiasm already. I think we're going to see that as they come out with the product. We're going to see more vendors sort of hop onto this, and you know, they're a force in the industry. So,
well, I heard more than one person say to me, direct quote, "It's hard to bet against Intel."
Right.
And this was Intel finally opening their plans a little more. It's not like any of it was not that well known, but as you put it before, a kind of a relaunch or a further launch, a further introduction, and they did manage to swing the needle of the conversation of accelerators to a lot of people talking about Mike this time around.
Right. I think people now see that Intel's committed to this, and they're going to have a choice. The users are going to have a choice. The vendors are going to have a choice to decide which one or both to implement. It's going to be an interesting year in 2012, and I think it's up in the air. I think, you know, there is this enthusiasm now, it's building. It's not a product yet, and that's sort of the Intel's credit. They can generate this much enthusiasm about it without having a product, but it's going to be something to watch. So the other sort of trend I saw, it wasn't really a trend, but what I heard by coming to the show is that there's a little movement in the industry. People are moving around. I heard that Andy Keen, who headed up the Tesla unit, the HPC unit at NVIDIA, has moved on. He's going to pursue something else, I guess.
Sort of related to the other story, but the buzz around Mike notwithstanding, general manager of the Tesla business unit at NVIDIA is a big seat. I'm going to guess they're going to have some industry heavyweights who might be interested in that role.
Yeah, I mean, Andy definitely, he built that up from scratch, and everybody knows who he is, and he's done a tremendous job, I think, by any standard.
Andy did an excellent job.
And he's headed it. It has nothing to do, I mean, as far as we know, with anything else going on at the company or with Intel or anything else.
Right.
But I think he just picked this time to leave. I mean, it's you know, it's an established brand now, obviously, and he's moving on.
Right. We also heard from just before the show, there was another one.
Right. Just before, there's Alan Garr from IBM, who was the principal architect on BlueJean.
Now, he was one of HPC Wire's people to watch this year.
Right. And we're watching him, and he moved. He went to Intel, actually.
There you go. People to watch, and they're on the move.
I don't think we're going to find out what he's doing for a while. I think there's going to be a little bit of secrecy around that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in part of the Exascale group there or related activities, but he's definitely got the cred to do some of that work. So that's an interesting move. And then the last person we saw, Fabio Gallo, the director of HPC at Bull, he's moved on too. So just those three that we know of. But I thought it was kind of interesting that people were moving sort of in the middle of the year. Sometimes there's a season to this, and this seems to be the season.
Well, Fabio's a friend. I've known him many years, and I certainly wish him success as he moves on. But that was kind of interesting. You're right, Michael. It's a few really important HPC positions starting to turn over. I saw a couple of interesting trends also. One of them that I've been talking about so much and then I didn't build up for this show is developments in HPC storage. You know, I've probably gone into a bunch of these trade shows in a row saying I wanted to see what was going to develop on the storage side, and we got developed. Xyratex with their cluster store announcement, right, was a big deal, not only because of the acquisition, but because they are taking their brand, which had previously been kind of behind the curtain OEM strategy, and, right, and taking it forward. It's like they've been making snowballs behind the wall of their snow fort for 4 years, and now they've popped their head up and they're starting to throw.
Right, they're going to be much more visible now that they've got a product that is going to be sold directly or through OEMs to customers, but it's Xyratex branded now. To some extent. So, yeah, all of a sudden, everybody's going to know about Xyratex in the HPC community.
Right. NetApp showed up with not only the traditional LSI Ingenio team, but also some of the new management talking about their plans for integrating that and their plans to address HPC. And not just on the acquisition side. Panasis had their Active Store 11 announcement. I thought that was good. Blue Arc leading the PNFS buff and some announcements of their own. So a lot of positive movement around the storage side that was all kind of worth watching.
And it was sort of interesting. I mean, I don't think there were even that many server announcements this time. It was storage.
A lot of storage announcements going on, and then also just on the outside of the server, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that FDR was out. Of course, Mellanox kind of talked about it a little more than everyone else, the new 14 data rate InfiniBand, but it was nice to see that too.
Right, they've got the end-to-end solution now. They're going to have, they announced the ConnectX and the silicon earlier, and now they've got the switches and the adapters, so they put it all together. In fact, they were demonstrating it at the booth. They've got an end-to-end FDR solution now, and I think we're going to start seeing those systems before the end of 2011.
Well, why don't we take a quick break for a sponsor, and then we'll come back and keep talking about some of the things that were up or down at the show.
Okay.
AppRo is a leading developer of innovative supercomputing solutions uniquely positioned to support high-performance computing markets, focusing on medium to large-scale deployments where lower total cost of ownership is essential. AppRo accelerates technical applications and business results through outstanding price per performance, fast time-to-market solutions based on the latest open standards technologies, innovative cluster tools, and management software packaged with HPC professional services and support. AppRo supercomputing solutions enable scientists and engineers in academia, government, and industry to use highly technical, compute-intensive applications for scientific research discovery, data modeling, engineering simulations, and seismic visualization. AppRo's headquarters is located in Milpitas, California, with offices in Korea and Houston, Texas.
We've been talking about some of the trends, but let's talk about some of the highlights and maybe also some of the disappointments from the show. Do you want to start with what you liked or what you were disappointed by, Michael?
Let's start with what I liked. And to me, it was sort of an obvious choice. We talked about this last time, the K computer. The 8 petaflop system that the Fujitsu and Riken came up with. There was a lot of talk about it at the show. I think even the competition was very congratulatory with that system. Everybody felt good for him. It was sort of like, I think part of it was like, you know, when the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. I mean, they had this
big
disaster.
Big feel-good event. Yeah,
and all of a sudden, okay, the Japanese are back into it. They just had this horrendous disaster happen to them, but they came through it. In fact, it directly affected the K computer. They had to shut down some of the deployment for a while, but they came up with, you know, they're 80% done with this system, and they ran Limpak, and it's at the top of the list, and everybody felt good about that.
You know, it was such a big story that was on so many people's minds that it really almost passed for a trend for the show that we wouldn't you wouldn't think of as a trend. It was just, you know, a new number one system's kind of an event. But the other half of that is you could just as easily pick Fujitsu as the winner as opposed to Riken or the computer itself. Fujitsu not only with the Riken system, but also recently the HPC Wales and reopening their UK office, showing a lot of momentum.
Right. I think they're definitely back into the HPC in a much bigger way than they've been. I mean, they're selling switches now to into this space, and now the servers, and now systems like this, which they said, of course, they're going to try and commercialize and sell into the some of the markets, the European markets. But yeah, this was very good for Fujitsu, and you know, kudos to that group. They've really done a tremendous job. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch that computer as it fills out.
Well, I think you picked an easy one for your one-up, but that's okay. It was good enough that it needed to be picked. Let's go the other direction, though. What was something you were disappointed in?
So the one that was down for me, not so much a loser, just sort of a disappointment in the sense that they've been such big news for like the past five shows we've been at, or GPUs itself. You know, with the K computer sort of besting the Tianhe 1A supercomputer that had GPUs in it, all of a sudden it was, you know, three times bigger and just as efficient. And, you know, that's a CPU computer. And then at the other end, you had Intel talking about their accelerator, Mike, for a lot of the show. And we just talked about that they got a lot of buzz. And GPUs were sort of invisible this show. And it's not like I'm saying, you know, I'm down on GPUs, because I'm not. I think there's a lot to them still. I mean,
you'll never be down on GPUs, Michael. You're a true believer.
I'm a true believer in it. That's definitely true. That, you know,
it sounds like what you're just talking about is it feels like a loss of momentum.
Yeah, I mean, just this show, I think they just caught between news cycles. There's still a lot going on. I mean, you know, there was some talk here. I mean, right now, there's a lot of countries, the top GPU system in those countries. I think it's China, it's India, Spain, Italy, Russian, and until this week, it was Japan, too. All those countries have top systems that are GPU-accelerated systems. NVIDIA and AMD continue to move. I talked to AMD. They're going forward with their Firestream technology, which they're going to announce in the fall. It's not that GPUs are down in that sense. They just kind of got caught between news cycles. They didn't have big news coming out in June of this year. So in that sense, they became sort of a background story.
Well, I think you're right in the sense that GPUs themselves didn't have big news, and then some things that weren't GPUs did have big news cycles with Riken and Intel Mike. So certainly an understandable pick just in terms of the change of momentum from where they've been. Let's take one more break, and then we'll come back, and it'll be my turn for one up and one down.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by APRO International Incorporated, leading developers of innovative supercomputing solutions, uniquely positioned to support high-performance computing markets. www.apro.com.
And we're back. And so, yeah, I just gave you my ups and downs. How about you, Addison? What were your big winners, big losers here at the show?
I'll start with the disappointment side, and I'll go with the technology here myself. I thought that cloud computing didn't have as good a show as it might have had. You know, there's certainly still discussion of cloud, but a lot of it has already gotten to where it's almost cynical or jaded, and people talking about different types of cloud, certainly, but and it has been a topic, but other than a few exceptions, you didn't see too many people with their whole HPC strategy into the cloud, right?
No, and the vendors weren't talking about it. Even when it sort of caught the imagination, I think a year or so ago, people were at least talking about it at the show. They weren't showing a lot of products or things, but they were talking about it. And here at this show, I don't think there was much vendor discussion of it, and people were talking about it in some of these academic sessions and some of the research sessions, but not a whole lot. I mean, there is an ISC cloud show, so they probably, you know, pushed a lot of those kinds of sessions to that event.
Sure.
But still, you would think, you know, there'd be some people that were just talking about it, or the vendors would be talking about it, since, you know, they had 150 exhibitors here. Somebody would be saying something. But that's a good pick. I mean, there wasn't much talk about it. I got to agree with you there.
Well, and it could be, you know, the user and vendor community really tied into the two different notions of cloud here, because usually when we were talking about cloud, people were associating that with public cloud. And that's where we are seeing a lot of the dampers with regards to high-performance computing and the cloud. And then when he got over to private cloud, a lot of people were saying, well, yeah, we'll have that, but it's not really cloud, or it's not really different, or we just kind of renamed it from what it was before. Now, the best quote in all of that probably came from my own partner, Chris Willard, who said, when you compare public to private cloud, it's sort of like saying both the Americans and the Europeans play football. It's got the same name and a few similarities, like a ball and a big green rectangle that people are running around on, but there are differences in implementation. And that really resonated with a lot of people in terms of public and private cloud not really being the same thing.
Right. I think that's what you initially started out with, that the hype cycle maybe has run its course a little bit when people start hearing about public and private clouds and thinking, well, it's private clouds. They used to be called grids. I mean, is this all hype? I think that starts to sort of it starts to get people jaded about this. So, yeah, I think we're seeing sort of the downside of a hype cycle right now. And I don't think that says that this thing's going away by any stretch of the imagination. But right now there's a little bit of disillusionment, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the plus side, and this is something I really had to give some thought to, because there's a lot of good news coming out from everywhere. And, you know, obviously there's the Riken thing. But then beyond that, I was trying to think through the show trends. And of course, I already mentioned earlier in the show, I've been impressed by the trends in storage. I thought there was a lot of news from a lot of different vendors. And I was trying to narrow that down to who in that is really a winner relative to other companies, any company or any particular technology that emerges as a winner when the whole place is kind of going well. And I did manage to settle on one, because out of all the conversations I had, especially anywhere that we were talking about Lustre, one thing that struck me was that just about everyone had pretty good things to say about WAM Cloud.
Now, that's an interesting pick. I mean, they're a very small company, and yeah, they've become prominent pretty quickly in the Lustre community. They caught it early when the sort of this Lustre transition occurred with Oracle sort of jettisoning it. But that's an interesting pick. I mean, I didn't hear a lot about it. I did visit with them, and they had an interesting demo there.
The different concerns that I've brought forward with regards to Lustre, and you know, is it going to fork off, or you know, how do these different consortia work together? And I'm putting this to the server vendors, I'm putting it to the storage vendors, and what I keep hearing is that, you know, WAM Cloud, a lot of people are looking to them to provide guidance and support for HPC Lustre. And I thought, you know, that's kind of a big yoke of responsibility to put onto a relatively small company. But when I thought about it in that light, I couldn't think of any other company that kind of had that good a show across the board, especially considering the actual size of the company that they are.
Right. Yeah, they are a small firm by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, I think to their size, they're having a big impact right now. And it looks like they are building some momentum. I mean, they have this Hydra monitor tool that's going to come out later. They're working on that.
Yeah, they're doing demos of Hydra in their booth.
And yeah, I think they've built up some trust in the community. They're leading some initiatives. I think they're bringing together some of the Lustre community. I think them and Xyratex might end up being some of the two of the big leaders on different sides of the Lustre spectrum there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually partnered. The thing is, I haven't heard anyone saying, no, we're not going to partner with WAM Cloud.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to go do that separately. Did you hear that from anyone?
No, well, although WAM Cloud, I think they want to be sort of independent from a storage vendor, at least at this point. That's the story they're telling. They want to have a solution for everybody on their side of it. So I'm not sure if they might set up multiple partnerships. I think they have pretty big aspirations there. But there is a natural affinity between those two companies now. There's a lot of the brain trust there. And I'm sure they'll be working together.
Now, furthermore, I don't think you can necessarily write the end of the book all the way out to happily ever after on Lustre just because of this. But as of today, as of this show, you know, WAM Cloud's really kind of in a catbird seat as far as Lustre's concerned.
Yeah, I think so too. And they're like you said, they're a small company. They're not that old either. And I think we're expecting pretty big things out of them. So definitely we'll be following them.
We'll keep following them, and we'll be back in Hamburg again next year, Michael. I got to tell you, I like this show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do too, and I know we're coming back to Hamburg at least one more year. So I'm looking forward to that show too in 2012.
All right, Michael, travel safe. Good flight home.
You too.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.